Luke chapter 2 and verse 46. There we read, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him," that is Mary and Joseph, "found the Christ in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." We'll be dealing in a fuller way with that verse next Sabbath morning, God willing. But I want to look at the events leading up to this, where Mary and Joseph found the Lord Jesus in the midst of the doctors in the temple. And there he was, hearing them and asking them questions. And whenever he was hearing them and asking them questions, as we'll see next week, it wasn't to increase his own knowledge or his own wisdom. We will look further at that next Sabbath day. But this is now the second time, the second occasion that the Lord Jesus was found in the temple at Jerusalem. The first occasion, Mary and Joseph brought him as a child of 8 days old, and brought him as an infant. In Luke 2 and verse 22, we are told to present him to the Lord. And on that occasion, the Christ child was the focus of attention. And certainly on that occasion, you could say that he was in the midst. He was the focus of attention, certainly in the eyes of Simeon and in the eyes of Anna, both who had been waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when Simeon saw the Lord and held him in his hands, then Simeon's life was fulfilled, and he was happy to go home to be with the Lord. And Anna also. And so in the eyes of those two individuals, and certainly Mary and Joseph, the Lord Jesus was the focus of attention. Now 12 years later, he's found in the temple again. And once more all eyes are upon him. As we read in verse 46, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed." They heard him and were astonished. They saw him and were amazed. "And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And so you can see that all eyes were fixed upon him. He was the center of attention, because there he was, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. He had gone there with his earthly parents to partake in the feast of the Passover, verse 41. And they were there to remember that wonderful night in Egypt, when God gave the order that every Israelite home was to take to themselves a lamb, slay the lamb, and the blood that was shed was to be daubed in the lintels and the doorposts of each Israelite home. And it was because of the blood of the lamb that was slain that night that every Israelite was saved from the sword of the death angel. That Passover, as we know, was a foreshadowing. A foreshadowing of an even greater event. Because of the blood of another lamb that would be shed, the whole of Israel, the Israel of God, was saved from the destroyer. And of course the blood was the blood of the lamb that was in the temple that day with Mary and Joseph. And there in the temple, You have the lamb remembering the lamb that was slain in Egypt. And how much Mary and Joseph knew about the 12-year-old Christ being the lamb that would be slain, we are not sure. How much they really knew, but certainly more was revealed to them about Christ when they returned to the temple seeking their missing Christ and finding him sitting in the midst of the doctors. And that position is a position the Lord Jesus often occupied during his earthly ministry. And certainly it's a position he occupies now in heaven. Once again, he's the focus of attention. He's in the midst of the throne in heaven. So we want to consider in this series those occasions where we find the Lord Jesus in the midst. On this occasion, we begin by considering Christ and the worshippers. Christ and the worshippers, namely Mary and Joseph, they went up to Jerusalem to worship, to partake of the feast of the Passover. And we have before us a record of the only fact that we know about the Lord Jesus during the first 30 years of his life on earth. After his infancy. Those 30 years are kept from us. The events that took place in Nazareth and what the Lord Jesus did, we don't know. They are hidden from our view. Except for this incident. When the Lord Jesus, as a 12-year-old, went with Mary and Joseph to the temple for the feast of the Passover. And it deals with him going with his parents to Jerusalem as they went there to worship. Now, close examination of this incident reveals some very interesting facts regarding Mary and Joseph and their worship there in the temple. I want you to notice, first of all, their sincerity. Their sincerity. We can see here just how sincere Mary and Joseph were about their worship. With regard to their sincerity, look at their companionship. We're told in verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." His parents went to the feast every year. His parents, that is, they both went together. Here we have the lovely sight, the lovely picture of a husband and wife going to their place of worship, and they do so together. They were going up to the temple in Jerusalem to honor God's appointed ordinances, and they honored them together. Now the distance between Nazareth in the north and Jerusalem in the south is a distance of over 100 miles. That's a long way to go. That's a long way to walk. To go to their place of worship. And those of our own congregation who come a long way to worship here can take encouragement from this. That the Lord did exactly the same on that occasion with his parents. And no doubt every occasion after that. They went over 100 miles to their place of worship. And to remember that night of the Passover. The night of the great deliverance in Egypt. And so we see that they walked together to God's house. And they worshipped together. Now it's not always possible for a husband and wife to do this. And to walk together and worship together in God's house. But when it is possible, it is indeed a most wonderful blessing. Something else we should consider. This is the last reference to Joseph. He's referred to in name. But it's the last time we read of Joseph being anywhere. Many of the commentators believe that sometime after this incident, that Joseph passed away and Mary was left a widow. And if that is the case, what pleasant and blessed memories Mary would have had of those times when she and Joseph went to the house of God together to worship. What blessed memories they would have, or she would have, of those times that they sat together in the temple and worshipped, or they sat at home and prayed, or they sat at home and read the scriptures together. What blessed memories Mary would have of those days. And so we see their companionship. I want you to notice also their company. When they went to worship on this occasion, they did not go alone. We read in verse 42, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." When he was 12 years of age, they brought the Lord Jesus with them. They went to worship, and they had Christ with them. As parents, they set a good example for their son. They were sincere in the way in which they endeavored to bring up the Christ child. So he went with them to the place of worship. When you think of it, the God of heaven chose this home, chose this family, chose this couple to be the earthly parents of the Christ child. And so these parents had to be sincere, godly, holy individuals. The Lord Jesus could not have come into a home where the parents were worldly and had no time for the Lord's house or for worship. But here we find that Mary and Joseph endeavored to set their son a good example. And they went to the house of the Lord and they brought him with them. As Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Notice there what Paul said. Paul said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up." In other words, bring them with you. Bring them up with you. It's not a matter of laying down laws and commandments and telling our children this is what you're to do and then the parents don't do it themselves. Paul said, we're to bring our children up, that is, bring them up with us. And that's exactly what Mary and Joseph did. They endeavored to bring Christ with them. They certainly brought Christ with them on their way to the temple when he was 12 years of age. And they certainly set a good example. You notice also, not only their companionship and their company, but also they were consistent with regard to their worship. We look at those words again in verse 42. "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast." This shows how consistent they were in their attendance to their place of worship. If you take that word custom there means habit. In other words, they were in the habit of going to the Lord's house and attending the temple at the time of the feast of the Passover. It was their habit. And you know that habits are hard to break. And so when you get into the habit of doing something, then you don't think anything about it. You just carry on doing the same thing. And here Mary and Joseph were in the habit of going to the Lord's house. Notice again, they were there every year at the feast of the Passover. They went every year. Shows us how consistent they were in their worship of God. They willingly made that long trip every year from Nazareth to Jerusalem, specifically for the feast of the Passover. They were consistent in their worship. They were consistent in their worship as God expected them to be. Over in Exodus chapter 12, we see what God expected of His people. In Exodus 12 and verse 42. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed. It's the night of the Passover. Much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. So from generation to generation, the children of Israel, the Jews, were to remember the night of the Passover. It was a night to be observed. The Lord said they were to remember that night. And here you have Mary and Joseph, and they are fulfilling the laws, the Lord's commands. How could they be anything else but consistent with having Christ in their home? They could not be anything else but consistent. After all, they had the Son of God in their home. And if we have Christ in our home, then we must, as far as lies within us, be consistent in our worship of the Lord also. Remembering the words of Paul again in Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Paul there is addressing the Hebrews, believers, about their worship. He's talking about worship. And he says, you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Paul says that's what some do. They do forsake their place of worship. Now look at that word in Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner. The word manner is again the word habit. And so what do we have here? We have a couple, Mary and Joseph, and it was their habit to go to the Jerusalem and to the temple for the feast of the Passover. It was their habit to do so. But here's Paul, and he speaks of those who've got into the habit of not attending the house of the Lord, of not assembling themselves together. They've got into that habit. And we all know again, if you get into the habit of doing something or not doing something, it's hard to break the habit. And those who do not attend the Lord's house, they're in the habit of doing so. Mary and Joseph were in the habit of going to Jerusalem to worship. They were consistent. Let us be like them and ever be consistent in our worship of the Lord. And then we notice also that they were conscientious. They were conscientious, these worshippers. For I find that Mary and Joseph were very conscientious about obeying God's law. Look at verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. Verse 22, same chapter. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, brought Christ. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. So they did everything according to the law of the Lord. They did not want to disobey the Lord or grieve the Lord with regard to their worship. And they brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. That is Simeon. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And so we can see how conscientious Mary and Joseph were. They wanted to obey the Lord as much as they could with regard to worship. Mary and Joseph had with them that day one who fulfilled all the law of God, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they, as much as lay within them, sought to do the same. And so, dear Christian, let us endeavor always to obey the Lord, to obey His word, to obey His law with regard to worship, as much as lies within us, sickness and so forth being accepted, of course, but let us be in God's house when it is humanly possible to be there. Having considered the worshippers and their sincerity, I want to look at the worshippers and their supposition. Their supposition. For we are told in verse 44, but they supposed him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Their supposition. We have just noted the sincerity of Mary and Joseph with regard to worship. We have just noted that they left the temple to return home to Nazareth. They have been there a number of days. They have been worshipping God. And yet we notice how soon, after spending time in the temple, how soon they discovered the Lord was not with them. Upon leaving the temple to return to Nazareth, Mary and Joseph didn't realize that the Christ child was not there. They didn't realize that the Christ child tarried behind in Jerusalem. They had gone a full day's journey before they missed him, missed his presence. Some very poignant lessons to be learned from these words. First of all, you take their departure. Their departure from the temple, having fulfilled all their duties, they returned, but they were unaware that the Lord wasn't with them. They departed from the temple, They didn't bring the Lord with them. I wonder how often that has happened to us. We've gone up to God's house. We've met with the Lord. We've seen the Lord as He's revealed in the Scriptures. We've been in His presence. But we've left God's house and we've left the Lord behind. We have worshipped Him, received a word from Him, seen the wonder of Him in the Scriptures, yet all that we have learned about the Lord, we have left it behind. We have forgotten, really, all that we have learned about Christ, all that we have been told about Him. We have actually left the Lord behind. Mary and Joseph left the Lord behind upon leaving the temple, and they didn't even know it. It's easy for us to leave the Lord behind the moment we walk out of the church doors. There is no desire for His likeness, no attempt to apply the truth that we have heard through His word, and so we leave the Lord behind. We ought to take the Lord with us. And the word that we have heard, take that word with us. And by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit of God, apply that word to our hearts and say, Lord, I want to be more like the one I heard about today. I want to bring Thee with me. Wherever I go, surely we want the Lord with us. I must have the Savior with me in the onward march of life, through the tempest and the sunshine, through the battle and the strife. I must have the Savior with me. Now, regarding their departure from the temple, we have noticed they're leaving the temple, and you notice also their loss. An important point here. Yes, Mary and Joseph supposed the Lord was in their company. But you'll notice something. It wasn't the Lord who left them. They left the Lord. They had been in the temple and the Lord was in the temple, but they were the ones who left the temple without the Lord. They left the Lord. They left Christ. Wasn't Christ who left them. We know the Lord will never leave us. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always. So He'll never leave us. But oh, believer, how often have we left Him? That's where the problem arises. When we leave the Lord, we wonder why. Have we lost our joy? Have we lost our gladness? Have we lost our peace? Why have we lost these things? Because we've left the Lord. We've left Him behind. And so we would do well to ask ourselves today, have I left the Lord? Am I still walking with Him? Am I still in sweet communion with Him? Am I still enjoying fellowship with Him day by day? Or have I left the Lord? Have I left Him behind? And that, of course, as Christians, is something we cannot afford to do. We cannot afford to leave the Lord. We must have the Lord with us. These were questions that Mary and Joseph evidently asked themselves. Notice the day. On this day they had traveled a full day after their departure from the temple before they realized the Lord was not in their midst. A full day. Can you imagine parents going a full day in the company of others without checking, without finding out if their children are there with them in the company? why, it would almost be unheard of. You could be charged for child neglect, going a whole day in the company of others and not finding out, is my child here in this company? Or have we left him behind somewhere? You never dream of that happening. Well, it happened here. Mary and Joseph, we are told, went a full day without asking, is the Lord with us? They went a full day without speaking to him. They went a full day without communing with him. They went a full day without looking into his countenance. A whole day. I wonder how they could go a full day without any contact with Christ. And yet, unfortunately, sometimes Christians go more than a day without contact with Christ. They go more than a day without speaking to Christ. They go more than a day without fellowship with Christ. They go more than a day without communing with Christ. They've gone more than a day. They've gone more than a week. They've gone more than a month. They've gone more than a year without fellowship with the Lord. Without even asking, is the Lord with me? Have I left the Lord behind? Am I in fellowship with him? So it was with Mary and Joseph. A whole day without seeing the Lord. We notice then also regarding Mary and Joseph, their dullness. There's a dullness about Mary and Joseph. The psalmist said in Psalm 86 verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Psalmist was in touch with the Lord daily. Isaiah says in Isaiah 58 verse 2, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. And so the prophet spoke about those who sought the Lord daily. Mary and Joseph didn't on that occasion. A whole day they had gone without seeking the Lord, without speaking with him. That speaks to us of their dullness. The Lord had not been with Mary and Joseph for a day and they hadn't even noticed. That's dangerous. The reason for that being, we're told, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. It's dangerous. They supposed the Lord was with them, but he wasn't. They took it for granted. Indeed, the word supposing refers to that. To take for granted, without even checking, just to take for granted, the Lord was there. They didn't think he would be anywhere else. That's what it means. They didn't think the Lord would go anywhere else or be anywhere else other than in their company. But he wasn't. They made a terrible mistake. They thought wrong. The Lord wasn't with them. What does this remind us of? Doesn't that remind us of a man called Samson? When Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. He said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not, he didn't know. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. On this occasion, Mary and Joseph had departed from the Lord. And they wist not. That can happen. Believer, it can happen to you and me. we can suppose that we have the Lord with us, that we have His presence. Yes, He's never going to leave us. But what about His presence? What about that communion and fellowship with Him? Some of God's people never give it a thought. They never stop to give it a thought. Do I have the Lord's presence with me? If challenged, some would say, well, I suppose so. I think so. That's not good enough. You recall the children of Israel in 1 Samuel. And we see what supposition did for them. 1 Samuel chapter 4. They've gone out against the Philistines and have been defeated. They come back into their camp and they decided, well, we'll bring the Ark of the Covenant with us. That'll give us a victory. And in verse 3, and there the lamp of God went out in the temple. Sorry, chapter 4, verse 3. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of the Lord's presence. Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. You see, they thought, they supposed that the fact that they had the Ark of the Covenant with them, the symbol of the Lord's presence, that they were bound to defeat the Philistines now. But there was one thing missing. They never asked the Lord, would the Lord go up with them? They never sought the Lord's face. They never sought His face to find out were they in His will in going against the Philistines. They only supposed the Lord would be with them because they had the Ark. We can do the same. We can just suppose we're walking in the Lord's will. We can just suppose that the Lord is with us, that we have His presence with us daily. Well, it cost the Israelites. It cost them dearly. They went out against the Philistines, thinking the Lord was with them. And in verse 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. It cost Israel supposing the Lord was with them. It cost Samson supposing the Lord was with them. And it cost Mary and Joseph supposing the Lord was with them. And believer, it can cost us also. Let us not be as dull as Mary and Joseph, or as the Israelites, or as Samson. Let us be alert. Is the Lord with me or not? You notice, following their supposition, you see their seeking. They went and sought Christ. Upon their discovery that the Lord was not in their company, Mary and Joseph began a search for Him. In verse 44, but they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, it took them longer to find Him than it did to miss Him. He wasn't with them for a day and they didn't even notice. But it took them 3 days to find Him. so easy. This emphasizes how easy it is to leave the Lord behind. And how difficult it is, we might use that word, to get back into fellowship with Him. Notice their purpose. Evidently, Mary and Joseph were concerned and troubled that the Lord was not with them. They then purposed in their heart to go and find Him. Now, this is something you would expect parents to do, isn't it? Oh, my child is not here. Where is he? And they go looking for him and calling out to him. That's what you would expect parents to do. That's what Mary and Joseph did. But think of those who know they have been away from the Lord. They know it. They know they have not been walking with the Lord for some time. But they have not gone in search of him. They seem to be content to go on through life without the Lord. What would we think of Mary and Joseph if after discovering the Lord was not in their company, they just went on ahead to Nazareth? No, they had to find him. And so they turned back. And so it is with us. If we know that we are away from the Lord, we need to purpose in our hearts to find him, to seek him, to make sure that we're back in fellowship with him. This happened to Mary and Joseph. This happened to the parents of Christ. And if it happened to the parents of Christ, it can happen to anyone else. And we not even know it. But worse still, if we do know it and don't do anything about it. Mary and Joseph were determined to do something about it. They purposed in their heart they would find the Lord. If you're away from the Lord today and haven't been walking with him for a long time, why not purpose in your heart today, I'm going to seek him. I need to get back into fellowship with him. I need to be in that place where I can look upon his face every day. Notice their perseverance. It only took one day for them to lose the Lord, but 3 days to find him. Was he not worth finding? Was he not worth persevering in the search for him? Of course he was. And anyone who's out of fellowship with the Lord and not walking with the Lord, is he not worth seeking him? Does he not mean anything? Do we just go on our merry way and not walk with God, not walk with the Lord, not have the Lord with us? Mary and Joseph had been without the Lord for a day. But upon that discovery, the Lord was not with them. They weren't going to go another day. They couldn't go another day without the Lord. We read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3, a similar incident. By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets. In the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Did she give up? It says, I sought him, but I found him not. But she didn't give up. She didn't say, I'll just go on without him. I'll just go on. I'll live my life without him. No, she's seeking the one whom her soul loveth. And believer, if our soul loves the Lord, is he not worth seeking? Is he not worth finding out? I sought him, but I found him not. Verse 2. Verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him, persevered, whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. In other words, she found him whom her soul loveth, and she brought him home. That's what Joseph did. They sought the Lord until they found him, and brought him home. He was worth seeking for. They persevered until they found him. And if we seek the Lord, if anyone here is away from the Lord, you've left the Lord behind somewhere. If you seek him, you'll find him. Jeremiah says in 28 verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what Mary and Joseph did. Then in the last place you have their pain. Mary told the Lord in verse 48, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Sorrowing. It is a word that is used to describe sorrow of separation. The word is found in Acts 20 and verse 38, where the apostle Paul gave his farewell address to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And we're told that the people fell upon his neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all that they would see his face no more. Separation. It was that sorrow that they felt. And the sorrow that Mary and Joseph described here was the sorrow they experienced being separated from Christ. That person who's genuinely saved will experience that sorrow also. They'll experience the sorrow of being separated from the Lord. Not having the Lord's presence, not being in communion with him, not being in touch with him, not being in conversation with him, not looking upon his countenance. There'll be sorrow in their hearts of the true Christian. There was sorrow in the hearts of Mary and Joseph. We've sought thee sorrowing. They felt the pain of being separated from him. And where did they find him? Verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, where they had left him. He was still there. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And we shall look at that, Lord willing, next week. We said we wanted to look at the introduction, the events leading up to the time when they found the Lord Jesus sitting in the midst. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our loving and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word, for the lessons, Lord, that we have gleaned from thy word. O Lord, if any today have left behind the Lord behind somewhere, they have departed from him, they're no longer in fellowship, communion with him, O Lord, may they, like Mary and Joseph, seek him today. Seek him with all the heart. And Lord, thou hast said, the day that seek thee shall find thee. And may our dear Lord, those who have wandered away from thee, seek thee and find thee, even as the bride in the Song of Solomon, which was able to say, I found him, I held him, and I would not let him go. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. May we take the Lord with us as we go from this place. May we not leave him behind, leave his word behind, leave thoughts of him behind. Leave a view of him behind. But Lord, may we take the Savior with us. Be with us now, Lord, as we do part the one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety and abide with us there and return us to thy house tonight. Lord, the living, to praise thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever.